We've gotten out of the habit as a society of going to worship.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church. At this time, we are going to have some very special music by Jillian Stanley and Jonas Stanley. Thank you so much, Jillian and Jonah. That was wonderful. We always appreciate you coming and sharing what you've learned with us.
We're going to talk about Abraham a little bit, an interesting man whose decisions have had an impact on every one of our lives, because had he not made the decisions that he made, we might not be sitting here today. And so he is an example for us of what it is to be a follower of God and to be a faithful man and to take into consideration the decisions that God had for him and being obedient to God and worshiping God as well. So let's gather to worship as we begin to sing and pray and do all the things that happened this morning.
We are going to hear from Jan Serber.
May not grace the minds of everyone in the world, but that's all right as long as I can have one wish I pray. eyes that find the source of help when help cannot be found. Eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, just like my father's eyes. And on that day when we will pay for all the deeds we have done, good and bad, they'll all be had and seen by everyone. And when you're called to stand and tell just what you saw in me, more than anything I know, I want your words to be, she had her father's eyes, her father's eyes, eyes that saw the good in things when good was not around, eyes that found the source of help when help could not be found. Eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, just like my father's eyes.
Thank you so much, Jan. That was wonderful. Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now that we have God's approval by faith, we have peace with God because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. Through Christ, we can approach God and stand in his favor. So we brag because of our confidence that we will receive glory from God. But that's not all. We also brag when we are suffering. We know that suffering creates endurance. Endurance creates character, and character creates confidence. We're not ashamed to have this confidence because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Look at it this way. At the right time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for ungodly people. Finding someone who would die for a godly person is rare. Maybe someone would have the courage to die for a good person. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. This demonstrates God's love for us. Since Christ's blood has now given us God's approval, we are even more certain that Christ will save us from God's anger. If the death of his son restored our relationship with God while we were still his enemies, we are even more certain that, because of this restored relationship, the life of his son will save us. In addition, our Lord Jesus Christ lets us continue to brag about God. After all, it is through Christ that we now have this restored relationship with God.
I'm going to turn to the book of Genesis. We're going to talk about Abraham this morning, a man who, as I said earlier, is in large part, we are here because of the decision that he made many thousands of years ago. So we hear first from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to flip over to Genesis 18 to a story that you will remember. It involves Sarah as well, where she laughed at the sign of being given a gift that she certainly was not expecting, but had thought would long pass, had long passed her and Abraham. But yet some visitors came to bring grace to them. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and in your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And so Abram went as the Lord had said to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered. And when the persons whom they had acquired into Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moriah. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give you this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country in the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on the stages toward the Negev. And then we turn to chapter 18. Where Abraham is sitting and he encounters three visitors. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat in the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent and the entrance to meet them, and he bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I had find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring you a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd, took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" He said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." Today we turn to Genesis and we look at a man who is likely, probably the most and the best great man of the Bible. Abram, or Abraham, as he would be later renamed, provides many lessons for us about living a godly life, but also is referred to many times in the New Testament. Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation. He was a faithful man. Abraham cared not only for his own family, but he was a person who was concerned for others and practiced hospitality to demonstrate that. He was successful at ranching and farming. He disliked conflict, but would work with his opponent to set the rules for resolving conflict. He was obedient, even when it might have serious consequences. Abraham would be blessed by God, which would bring a blessing on Israel. Abraham married Sarah, was the father to Ishmael and Isaac, and Abraham's faith was significant in his relationship with God, for it says in Genesis 15, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Well, in our scriptures today, we see two significant events in Abraham's life. God calls Abraham from Ur to Haran, just as he called the disciples to go out into the world and to take little with them into the countryside to begin their work as disciples. Only Abraham was called to take all that he had and leave that where he was comfortable. Now, I don't know about you, but we've all at some time or another been called to something that we were pretty comfortable in. And God said, I want you to go over there. And we've kind of grumbled and said, but I don't want to go over there. I want to stay here where I'm comfortable, where I know what's happening. But sometimes God has other things in mind for us as he had for Abraham in that setting. And so we have to leave that which is comfortable and move to that place that is unknown. And we must put our confidence in God at that point to trust God for the journey. And Jesus comes to Abraham from Ur and from Haran. Our story would be much different, as I said earlier, had Abraham not have been obedient and followed God's direction. We probably wouldn't be sitting here because of that. Well, there were many significant events that happened in Abraham and Sarah's lives, but there's one most significant, and that was the visit of the three guests who would share with Abraham and Sarah their future as parents. Now, if you remember, they're not the only folks in Scripture who are a bit older who find out that they're going to have a child. There was another couple, I believe, named Elizabeth and Zechariah, who found out at a much later age that they too were going to become parents. And I suspect that if you were like Sarah and you had visitors from wherever who came and said, after all those years of waiting and praying faithfully, you're going to be a parent, you'd have laughed as well probably and said, I don't think so. What do you have in mind? You know, I think we can look at God, you know, sometimes I think it's hard to imagine God laughing. I think God was probably laughing when he made those two choices. Aha, I'm going to show you what I have in mind. You're going to like this when it all gets done, but you may not like it now. But nevertheless, Sarah has a child. And Scripture says that she denied that. And we look at that as a means of grace, if you will, that God showed her that because of being faithful, because of being intentional in her journey of life, God would show forth his favor upon her and have her be with child. Nevertheless, Abraham treats them well with a good feast. I think it's interesting that, you know, there's another story about them that is an interesting story that we learn because they're challenged with another situation with that child, Isaac. How many of you who would have said God came to him and said, I want you to take Isaac up and I want you to sacrifice him. And he went forth. We don't know the discussion that Abraham must have had with God. Why would you ask me to take this, my one and only son, the one whom I waited, I prayed for many years, and you want me to sacrifice him before you? Again, another one of those times when Abraham does what God asks him to do. He's obedient. He packs up. He takes the wood for the fire. He takes the fuel, takes the sacrifice with him, knowing all along that this was not going to turn out well, but hoping that maybe God had something else in mind. Isaac's probably scratching his head going, now, wait a minute. Dad's got the wood, Dad's got the fuel, but we don't have any sacrifice. How are we going to make this work? And all Abraham tells him is that God will provide. And in his own mind, hoping that God will indeed provide for something other than his own son that he's been caring for. So what do we learn from Abraham? Well, we learn obedience. How many of us would be willing to take our son off to the mountain? How many of us would be happy to learn at our 85 years of age that we're going to have a child? How many of us, when we're asked to move somewhere, doesn't go kicking and screaming a little bit? But Abraham goes. He does what God asked him to do. He's obedient to God. Consequences. Abraham has no idea what God has in mind for him, but yet he makes decisions without necessarily considering the long-range consequences. But in Abraham's case, those long-range consequences have had an impact not just on him, not just on Sarah, not just on Lot, not just on Moses, not just on Isaac, not just on Jeremiah, but they've had consequences that have affected us. Had he not made those decisions, had he not been obedient to God, had he not made those choices, again, we wouldn't be sitting here. We wouldn't have the promise of righteousness. We wouldn't have the promise of everlasting life. We wouldn't have the opportunity for grace. So making decisions that we consider the consequences, and not just the immediate, but the long range. oftentimes we don't look at the long range. We may not know what the long range are. Abraham may not have realized what the long range projection was going to be for the decisions that he made. We need to trust God for the outcome. What's it going to be like to have a child at 85 years old? What's it going to be like to take your son to the hill and be prepared to sacrifice him, not knowing for sure what might happen? Thankfully, there was a ram, a goat, showed up at the time. But because Abraham had faith and belief in God, God saw fit to bless him and to show favor upon him and to be with him at every turn. Abraham could have done just things to make God happy. Notice I said he could have just done things. But that's not what we're asked to do. We're asked to believe. We're asked to have faith. The things are fine, but the things aren't what eternally matters. What matters is our belief, our faith in a God who provides and is there for us if we believe in him. The things are immaterial. The things we do are a response to God's activity in our life. But we must first have faith. We must first have a belief in God, and then the things come in response. The offering is a response to God's grace in our life. The activities that we do, the service in the church is in response to God's action in our life. The celebrating at the table, the sacraments, are our response to what God has already done and is doing in our lives beforehand. So we must first have that faith. We must first have that belief before the things begin to make a difference. Otherwise, the things are just things, and God says, oh, that's nice, but where is your faith? Where is your belief at the core? Abraham worshiped God. You notice it said when they got to Canaan, he set up an altar. And everywhere he went, he set up an altar. And it wasn't just a matter of setting up an altar. It wasn't one of those things. It wasn't something that he just did to say, Abraham was here. I marked the spot that he was there. But it was a way for him to say, this sets out my relationship with God. And he worshiped God. He regularly renewed his love and loyalty to God. It was important that he had a relationship with God. And we saw that relationship with him. We saw that relationship with Jesus, with the disciples. He would regularly take himself aside, go off and pray and spend time with God and be in the presence of God. He attended to being with God. And so when we worship on a regular basis, it helps us to remember what God desires of us and what in turn that motivates us to obey him. So we have to be in regular worship. You know, and that's one of the struggles that we have in the church as a whole, not just here, but across the board. We've gotten out of the habit as a society of going to worship. Worship is acceptable now if I get there maybe 2 Sundays out of 4. That's regular worship in a lot of places. If I get there 1 out of 4 or 5, that's acceptable worship. So society says, because we've allowed the world to interrupt our need for worship. We've allowed other activities to take the time of our Sunday morning worship. Take the time of our sacred space. So if we're going to allow Sunday to be taken off the schedule, when do we find time to have that other sacred space? When do we find time to have that other spot in which we worship God that we set aside? You know, there are people who have to work on Sunday because you and I want to go out and eat. We have to go to the hospital. There are people who have to take care of us. There are people who have to watch over our world, law enforcement people. So there are people who do have to work, but they find ways, some of them, to worship in other places and at other times. So we have to make sure that we take time out for worship. And Abraham did that. God can be trusted for the impossible and the unlikely. Who is it with God that God says somebody at 85 years of age can become pregnant? Sounds a little like Zachariah and Elizabeth. Sounds a little bit like Mary. Who am I as a 16-year-old that I can be privileged to have a child. God takes the unusual, the outrageous, and makes it become extraordinary for his purposes. And we can see that, as Romans talks about, that through our difficulties, through our challenges, God brings us endurance. He brings us perseverance. He brings us character. And most of all, he provides us hope that we'll get through those difficulties. We'll get through those times if we have hope and belief and faith in God. So let me ask you a couple, three questions before we close. What will be the impact of your decisions? Will they just have an immediate, short-term impact? Won't have much of a fallout on your family or your friends or your loved ones or people that you have a day-to-day encounter with. You know, we may not have the ability to make the kind of decisions that Abraham did that will affect the entire world. But can we make decisions that will affect the world in which we live? The world sphere, the place where we live and work, can we make decisions that will affect that part of the world? That maybe together with other Christians might have an effect on the entire world. How will other people, how will your wives, how will your children, how will your grandchildren, how will your friends, how will your coworkers be affected by the consequences of your decisions? Have you thought about that? Something to ponder as you're thinking this week. And then what you have is your legacy. Your decisions determine your legacy. We all have examples of what our fathers have been to us. Many of us, our fathers are still living. For some of you, your father has passed. What kind of a legacy did that man leave? Or what kind of a legacy did that man who was significant in your life leave for you? How did his decisions have an impact upon your life? So what legacy then will you leave behind for your family, for your friends, and for others? May you be an Abraham who makes decisions that have an impact way out down the road, as well as impact on the immediate. And may you leave a lasting legacy that will honor and bless God as well. Amen.
Thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning, and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Fincannon Ford of Hartford City.